You know what I struggle with about Easter?
What?
It's got so over commercialized. And, you know, we went into Tesco's today and there are literally like no Easter eggs left, even though it's like still 2 days before Easter. And it's like we've all forgotten what Easter's for.
Okay. Well, yeah, you might have a point there, I guess.
Because you know what it's for, right?
Of course.
To celebrate the Easter Bunny's birthday.
Hello, welcome to the Messy Pew podcast. The podcast where we talk things about, church, faith, cider, questions about life, sound like two grumpy old men, all that sort of thing. And
that's right. Week,
yeah, that's right. I called us two grumpy old men.
Yes, I'm going to go with I sound like a grumpy old man and you are a grumpy old man.
I'm happy to take that as well. This week, we are talking. Well, I've not introduced ourselves. His name is Andy. My name is Andy. Job done, right? Cool.
Yeah.
And you are lovely for tuning in. Thank you for listening.
That's the bit we say at the end, Andy. Okay, so just to say, right, people need to listen and then we say thank you for listening.
That is true. Maybe we should just move past all of this and talk Easter.
Easter.
Well, apparently that's what we're talking about this week. I'm not 100% sure why, because to be honest with you, I don't have that many thoughts about Easter. Well, I don't think so. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like chocolate.
Yes.
Chocolate's good. I'm down with that. I'm down with hunting for chocolate in supermarket aisles, particularly, you know, the day after Easter, so I can get it cheaper.
Good luck, they didn't have much.
Great. I know that working all 4 days over Easter can massively suck. So if you are in that position, know that you are awesome, and I hope you do get some rest at some point. I don't know. I guess I kind of struggle a bit with Easter at times, and that it feels like other people are more excited about it than I am.
Okay.
Or I don't know. Or maybe they're just more excited about the Easter eggs. I don't know.
I'm not sure many people are more excited about the Easter eggs than you.
That's a fair comment to make. But I guess the one, and I get, well, I, obviously we are a Christian podcast.
We are, yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, we talk about faith and the Bible and Jesus and stuff. Yeah.
Indeed. And so if I am to share something along those lines, is every now and then, the occasional year, I do like the feel of Easter Sunday morning at the start of the day, because if you can't think about new beginnings on Easter Sunday, when the heck can you? And that's me done. That's my spiritual content for the 25 to 30 minute podcast. Sorry.
Excellent. Right. So, well, sure. Just ask how your week was and then wrap it up.
Can do. Or we can, you know, get to that point where you share something to educate me, to make me think. I don't know.
So, when,
help me out. Yeah.
A long time ago, I worked for a charity called ICE, who go into schools and talk about God and faith and stuff. And we always talked about Easter being about new beginnings. And the whole and the whole kind of egg, the chick comes out of the egg and it's new life and exciting. And obviously that doesn't happen at any other time of year. Yeah, that's how we often talked about Easter when I was doing children's work. But I think there's an awful lot about Easter, isn't there? Because obviously it's the celebration of salvation, effectively, isn't it? Jesus taking on our sins and beating death.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I understand it. I guess I'm just overly matter of fact about it.
Yeah. I think as your faith matures, that kind of less peak trough excitement about things is quite normal, isn't it?
I hope so.
And if it's not, I've got something to worry about. Because, when you're like a relatively new Christian, it's all kind of really exciting and much more.
You got mail.
Up and down, isn't it? And you have your real kind of mountaintop experiences and then your real troughs afterwards. So that's, I think quite normal. But I think, in my experience of church, we've often, I think, forgotten a lot of the things about Easter and not paid that much attention to them.
You mean things that aren't Good Friday or Easter Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
okay.
As an example, so I told someone at work the other day that I was, who is also a Christian, that I was going to be on holiday for part of Easter week. And they assumed that I meant the week before Easter, whereas Easter week is the week after Easter, because the week before Easter is Holy Week.
Okay.
And it's just like people just don't, I think churches don't talk about this kind of stuff. They don't talk about what happens during Holy Week and the stages of the cross and what Maundy Thursday means, and we just kind of skip to Good Friday, slightly confused about why it's called good, but overall impact is good, so I'm okay with that. And then Easter Sunday, really exciting, singing Christ Alone and Happy Days.
In almost every church across the country. So I was at a Good Friday thing earlier, and for all my comments about not being massively excited, it was nice, it was good, it was, yeah, really, it was quite lovely, to be honest with you. But one thing that did make me laugh was in the outside bit, there was a talk from stage about why it's called Good Friday, when actually it's about a guy dying. And a drunk guy walking through the crowd shouts out, "Well, it's a double entendre, isn't it?" Yeah, he's not wrong.
I'm confused by that.
In that it's got double meanings, in that you can take it in one way, in that, you know, it's Good Friday. Hang on, why are you calling it that? But actually, the real meaning is.
Yes, I see.
And I'm like, drunk guy gets it. Cool.
So what you're saying is that to be good at Christian stuff, we need to be more drunk?
I will take that.
On that subject, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking Inch's Cider. Fairly cheap from Tesco's. Introduced to me by a local landlord friend. Unfortunately, it's
just a lot cheaper from Tesco's than it is from the pub. And it also means I get to, you know, do this sort of thing.
That is true. And drink. Yeah. I am drinking proper job.
Oh, I miss proper job.
It is good.
That was a good beer. For those just tuning in and who are now massively confused at how we've managed to segue from the meaning of Good Friday to what we're drinking to why I miss proper job. I'm gluten intolerant, so I can now no longer drink the good beers of life. But I can, you know, drink the good ciders of life. So, you know, swings around bats to everything. But that's anyway.
So back to Easter and
Easter
Good Friday.
So no Good Friday.
See, this episode is coming out on Saturday, which obviously is in between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And I think, again, in church, in my experience of church, we often skip from Good Friday to Easter Sunday very quickly, and we don't think about what happened on Easter Saturday very much.
Well, that's because
is that
Friday's
same
here
for you?
Well, it's because Friday's here, but Sunday's coming.
That's right. Yeah.
Friday is here.
Did you ever? Did
Sunday
you ever watch?
Is coming.
That's true. Did you ever watch a show called How I Met Your Mother?
No, I did not.
So it's not a very Christian show, but in that show there's a character called Barney who's a bit of a womanizer, and he has lots of rules about kind of how you do things to hook up with the most women, and obviously this is the place to discuss this in detail. But anyway, he says that you should always wait 3 days after a date with someone before you call them back. And he says that Jesus told you to do this because he waited 3 days to come back from the dead.
And that's probably just a fantastic example of Christianity being represented well-ish in culture.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure that's the message Jesus was really trying to give, but, you know, it's the if he'd stayed away, you know, if he'd died on Friday and come back on Saturday morning, they'd be like, so, what happened? Where did he go? What happened? Because he waited until Sunday, they were like, oh, where's he gone? Oh, here he is.
Yes, I'm sure exactly that is what the refilled disciples were going through.
Yeah, but yeah, no, so yeah, I think there's something to think about with Easter Saturday and to not move too quickly to Easter Sunday in our remembering of these events, because I think there's a few things that I just wonder what it was like. So like, did the disciples go to synagogue on Saturday?
Oh, that's right.
Did they go to temple?
Did they? Or
and
did
if they...
they
did, what was that like?
Yeah. Or did they kind of stay undercover? And...
yeah.
What would that have been like for not going?
Yeah. Some of Jesus' followers were quite high profile, like Nicodemus and people like that, who were kind of quite well respected and quite well known, so they probably wouldn't have had the choice not to go.
But wouldn't Nicodemus, he's probably a subject, his whole kind of tale told in like three paragraphs throughout John is probably its own podcast, isn't it? But
yeah.
But he was almost like their man on the inside at one point.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But yeah, I just wonder what it must have been like, because it's sort of like you must feel like you're in this kind of ultimate kind of defeat moment. where this person you've put all your trust in and hope in, and kind of quite publicly been a follower of, has been executed, and nothing is, it's like nothing's happened because of it. But then you're sat in the temple potentially the next day, and the curtain separating kind of the holy place from the Holy of Holies has got a huge tear right down it. And yeah, it's, yeah, it's not just a thin curtain, it's this proper, like, really thick thing. They didn't get it in IKEA. It's like, I think it's described in kind of, I think it's Deuteronomy, but it's described as being like the width of a man's hand, of being like 4 inches thick.
So it wouldn't have been just ripped.
No, it's not. Someone hasn't just gone and put a pair of scissors through it.
Mm.
You know, for that to separate like that is huge.
Mm. Something, yeah. Something would have happened.
And that day must have just been really weird for everyone.
Hmm. And obviously, they didn't know that Sunday was coming to steal and borrow from that famous sermon that keeps on repeating,
yeah.
Sunday is coming. They didn't know Sunday was coming. They didn't know... Whilst we obviously don't want to take away from the hope that Easter Sunday shows us, the hope that Easter Sunday gives us, that death has been defeated on that Saturday.
Yeah.
They didn't know that.
Yeah, and I think there's something that we need to learn from that, and from that, is that, you know, how to get through Easter Saturday. Like, all those times where you're praying for something to happen or change, or praying for, you know, whether it's a new job or someone to be healed or some kind of miracle, and there's seemingly no answers. How do you keep going through that moment until Easter Sunday?
Wow. Okay. To be perfectly honest, I don't know. I don't really have an answer for that. Because I guess when you're in that place, the last thing you want is for someone to turn around and give you easy answers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's about working through it.
Yeah, and I think for me, one of the kind of the big things there is to be okay with not having the answer, to be okay with some confusion and a bit of doubt. Because at the end of the day, we're talking about things that are pretty unbelievable.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's all right to, I suppose, to quote the cliched phrase, it's okay to not be okay. I always have a bit of a problem with that phrase, because I'm always like, well, it is okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Easter Sunday bit, isn't it? That's that, the hope that's coming. Where, yeah, you've been through the crisis of Easter, of Good Friday, the doubt and confusion of Easter Saturday, through to the victory of Easter Sunday.
But when you're in that place, when you're in your own personal Easter Saturday, you don't 100% know that Sunday is coming.
No. Okay,
throw that sermon in the bin for 1 second. And just sit there and just... Because, yeah, we've all had moments when stuff has happened. And, well, can't really see the end of it.
No, that's right, yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes as we're in that moment or in that season, sometimes you can be really discouraged and find it really difficult to keep praying and keep listening to God and keep going. But I think that's the bit that we've got to do, isn't it? Is keep on trusting, keep on asking, and keep on listening for an answer.
Mm. And if you are in that place,
yeah,
worth finding someone.
Definitely, yeah. I think it's really easy to it's not easy, but it's easy to choose to suffer in silence and not say anything to anyone. And this week at work, I had to do a training course about mental health awareness for managers. I think it's really actually was a really exciting thing to do, except that kind of given my kind of history and career history, there wasn't an awful lot new on there, but there were a few things that they were good reminders. But one of the things that they said is that which is the braver choice, to suffer in silence or tell someone how you're feeling inside? And actually it's definitely harder to tell someone that you're struggling, isn't it? But I think it's a short moment of pain to get an awful lot of help.
Yes, yeah. And if you are someone who you've got somebody else approaching you to want to talk about how they're feeling in that moment, please don't give them a quick answer. Please don't turn around to them and tell them to smile or whatever. It's okay to live with them and live through whatever they're going through.
Yeah, and you don't even have to give them any answers. It's actually just having someone who listens and comes alongside is what helps. Like you might see a really obvious solution, but telling them that may not be the thing that they actually need to hear at that moment.
Yeah, yeah. So in an attempt to I'm very aware that I'm going to attempt to start wrapping this up, and the thing I'm trying to wrap up is us saying not to move on too quickly. So whatever I do, there's going to be it's not going to work. And lovely listener, I apologize for that. I guess what we're saying is, if you're in that place yourself, find a trusted friend who you can talk to. If you are that trusted friend, listen. I'm a little bit hesitant.
And don't rush to the answer.
Yeah, don't rush to the answer. I'm very hesitant to point towards too many resources, organizations, mental health people online, because I don't have worldwide type resources to hand.
Yeah. Yeah. One that I've found particularly helpful in the UK is the Mental Health Foundation.
Okay.
I think they're really good. So I think if people want some ideas around that sort of thing, go there. Or, you know, speak to your pastor, speak to your church, and yeah. Look after each other.
And do not forget to listen, rate, subscribe on the podcasting platform of your choice. Feedback appreciated. And yeah, especially if you've got any feedback about how you've worked through any of the stuff that we've spoken about, or any comments to add, please do. We can be found at themessypew@gmail.com or at messypew on Twitter or Instagram. We can also be found on Facebook as well. So, again, take care of yourselves and be excellent to one another.